Welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things. I am the aforementioned Max. Welcome to another week of this thing here, and I hope everyone's doing well. This has been a week for me personally. I won't go into it, but, you know, people who know me know. And yeah, so anyway, let's get into it. So, Cuomo, still a roach. Apparently his aides went above and beyond to hide the sheer numbers of deaths of elderly folks that were in nursing homes from COVID, on the pretense of, oh, we didn't want Trump and them to know our numbers. I mean, it didn't really fucking matter because them niggas didn't care about the numbers either. So it was of whatever. But basically, cats were hiding scientific data documents that incorporated the data and basically spent a whole lot of time pussyfooting around with the electeds who were asking questions rightfully as to what was what with the situation. He is and remains and will always be garbage, and he should fucking resign. In line with him being garbage, initially, our dumbass mayor, de Blasio, was talking about reopening the city in July 1st to be exact, but because they stay measuring dicks, and I mean, we know they're both small. We don't need all of this measuring. Like, it's constant with these two fucking idiots. But basically, this stupid fuck, because I guess he still wants us to shake, you know, he's trying to do the thing where, hey, look over there. We won't notice the fact that he's a creep and a bum and a bitch and he shouldn't be in his job no more. So he's opening the city at 100% capacity at all things May 19th, just in time for the holidays. I understand that capitalism demands blood and bone and, you know, you got to produce, baby. But creating a situation where there's going to be a ginormous spike because people are dirty, selfish, and nasty, by opening all of the things and doing it to get to the money is gross. And when the numbers spike again, and he's going to start doing the thing where, oh, who could have known? We're never going to be free of this fucking thing, guys. We're never going to be free of it. Like, mad cats haven't even been vaccinated yet in this bitch. Like, I don't even know if we're at 50% vaccination in this fucking state. So the idea of opening everything, and I do mean everything, Broadway, the sports games, the everything, open, 100% capacity in the restaurants. It's a terrible fucking idea, and mad people are gonna die. And I am sick of everybody. He is a garbage ass fucking bitch, and everybody who is parsing this nonsense along with him are all scummy ass fucking bitches. Speaking of, so, in what should be a surprise to no one who has any sense and has a pair of eyes that work, Andrew Yang is the fire festival of candidates for this mayoral election. Basically, there was a story that came out this week about this organization that he founded called Venture for America, which was supposed to create like 100,000 jobs and all these much needed places and, you know, basically an incubator for entrepreneurs. And basically, all that Yang had to offer was vibes, no content, just vibes, kind of like everything else. Mans was going up saying, yeah, we hit our numbers, like 5,000 jobs here, blah, blah, blah. When in reality, they made about 150 people. They made, 150 people. Of the people who they mentored to create businesses of their own, about 200 of them actually founded something. The founders were the only employees. Half of those failed. Mans was getting to the long money in terms of donations from all these corporate cats and shit like that to, you know, fundraise for this org. And at the end of it all, when he left the organization, they were $2.6 million in the hole. And they only had about 150 employees to show for it. So based off that, and going by the Bush principle, where the person runs things into the ground over and over again in their private life before they became politicians, it goes to tell you that this man does not have the range to run a city with a $90 billion with a B dollar budget and 300,000 city employees and a whole bunch of folks who are jockeying for position to get to the things. So I do not believe by any stretch of the imagination that this cat should be in anywhere. He should not run anything. He's basically Ja Ruling us. He's doing what that cat who ran the Fyre Festival did. It's basically no content, just vibes. Look at the pretty pictures. Don't pay attention to the small print. And we're all going to end up with dry cheese sandwiches in this city if this fucking guy gets elected. I swear to God. We can't have it. We just can't. So there's that. Moving right along, I've been watching Good Girls. I finally stopped fronting and I started watching Good Girls. It's the show with Retta and that Stack Dime piece from Mad Men, Christina Hendricks. You know who I'm talking about. The redhead. And the other girl who was in that show Parenthood that I absolutely... Basically, I love all three of them. So I was like, oh, I should watch it. I'll get to it. And then finally, I just decided to watch it because Netflix has rolled out this like randomizer, kind of like a shuffle where you press the button, it says play something, and it'll just start showing you different shows and you can skip until you see something you like. And one of the shows was Good Girls. So I decided, I'm gonna watch. So now I'm like fully into season two and the agita that the show is giving me because of their inability to crime properly. Like, you're supposed to kill a dude. None of you are dressed appropriately. You got the man out in the middle of nowhere. You should have killed him a long time ago. And, you know, you're just standing there talking and not killing. And I'm like, I don't know what it says about me. But the fact that they've not done enough murder is bothersome to me. It's really a problem. I need them to be better murderers. Maybe they get better. I know they're on their fourth season now, and the fourth season is airing, and I'm not there yet. but good Lord. Also, the dude who is the gangster who is making their lives very stressful is pretty fine. But other than that, I need them to crime better. Like, we're out here robbing places with plastic guns, not really covering up our faces, taking off our masks. Come on now. Like, have you not watched any of this true crime shit? Like, they give you the cheat codes on how to get away with murder. So, like, I don't understand why these broads are so messy with it. I get it. I know the stick is, you know, they're getting by just off of good luck and just vibes. But good God, I need better. I need better from these ladies. I am happy, though, to see Retta being used appropriately. The dude who plays her husband is fantastic. They're both so great. And I like that they are having it in such a way where this black woman who is not a size 6 is out here getting loved on properly by someone who loves her properly. And I'm into it. And, you know, Retta's getting to eat, you know what I'm saying? She's not like the sidekick. She's not like, you know, just kind of there because they need a black one. I'm into it. This is a much better use of her than when she was on that show about all the white ladies getting divorced or whatever the fuck that shit was. I stopped watching that show once she joined the cast because it was like, y'all really just gonna have her be the sassy one? Angry for no reason? Bye, y'all. Clearly you don't know how to write and I'm out. So I'm very happy to see her eating and getting to the things because Retta deserves. Any hooser, this week on the podcast, I spoke to the dynamic duo composed of the R&B representers, composed of JR's World of Music and Naturally Elise. It was a fun ass conversation. They are so funny and so smart. And if you haven't been getting up on their YouTube show, catch that. You should. If you haven't been checking them out on the radio every week, on their show, The Goodness, you absolutely should. They are doing their part to keep the black art form that is R&B alive and kicking, not like it ever died. So definitely get into my chat with them, and it's coming up in 2 seconds. Today on the podcast, I have with me two of the funniest and most brilliant people that I know. Both have an encyclopedic knowledge of R&B music and soul music. They are both the hosts of Catch That, an awesome YouTube series where they highlight and honor folks who keep R&B at the forefront. And they also host The Goodness, a radio show where they play, well, all the goodness that R&B has to offer. They're quickly becoming a must-follow for lovers of R&B and soul music. Get familiar with the R&B representatives, JR and Naturally Elise. Welcome to Mostly Max and Other Things.
Thank you. I'm like in awe of the little bio slash intro. That was
amazing.
How much you charge?
I try, I try to bring them out. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, ain't no man. Nobody intro gonna be better than yours. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. And thank you for joining me. And let's get started. So my first question, what do you do and why do you do it? And I will go ladies first, starting with Elise. Naturally, Elise, excuse me.
Oh, see, you put me on the spot. I was going to hand that one off to JR.
No backsies.
Dang it. No. I guess you could say we're music enthusiasts, and we do that because a lot of times people say God is love, but I also want to say music is love. Mm. It represents all the different kinds of love and different incarnations that love can take on. You have songs for being in happy romantic love. You have songs for when that love leaves. You have songs for love of your family, of your friends, of love of nature. So I think it all goes back to love, and just soul and R&B music just feeds my soul in such a way that it, like I said, it always comes back to love.
Oh, I love that.
So because I love it and it represents love, I want to represent it in a good way, in a meaningful way for people to learn about it, to know the facts about it, to know how it makes other people feel. All that is important to me. So
I love that. Yeah. JR.
Oh, dang, Elise.
I love that one.
First. I should have went first. Yeah. But no, I piggyback off her. Loving soul music to me, it's just my life. You know what I mean? I'm very, very dramatic. You know what I mean? When it comes to music, I always tell people I'm an emotional listener. Mm. So I really get into music, and it takes every emotion from me. And the only music that does that is soul music for me. Like, don't get me wrong, I love the Lord, amen, Jesus. But at the end of the day, it's like, for me, soul music is my heart to me. And I, like Elise said, I want to represent it the right way. And I found somebody that's just as dramatic, just as shady. Yes, you are. Amen. Just
everything. Yes. I hear that? Audible gasp.
You're just telling the truth in here.
Yeah. So we just want to represent it right. You know what I mean? We give facts. We want to be funny, give you the dramatics like we are. But at the end of the day, we just want everybody to know that R&B is here and it ain't going nowhere. So we're trying to represent
it. You guys are definitely doing that. And I love that the two of you just kind of feed off of each other's shenanigans and chicanery. And like, I like that you guys just kind of, like, we can see it. Like, the love is evident. And yeah. I think that is a beautiful thing, because this is Black music that should be nurtured and loved by Black people. And you guys are a big part.
Say that again.
This is Black music.
Say that one more time.
This is Black music. This should be loved and nurtured by Black people. Amen. So you guys are definitely doing that. And I you love to see it. Okay, let's move on to my second question. My second question is, how did you guys get started in your industry? How did you guys get started, full stop?
You want me to do it?
We'll go with you,
Jay. Oh, you want to do me? Okay, all right. We have a crew that we have. We call it the INA crew. And we all love music. Like, every last one of us love music to death. And we went out to Colorado. That was our first trip. Nobody knew nobody.
Wow.
Went to a house with seven strangers, picked to live in a house. Like, we was on some
real world
stuff. Yes. So we got there and it was like we all clicked, but it was something about me and Elise. Once the drinks started flowing and the music started playing, the dramatics came out of nowhere. And I was just like, okay. And, and our homeboy G was like, y'all two gonna do something. He said this while we was in Colorado, but me and her was like,
hey. From day one, literal day one.
Yes, I love that.
Day one. And he said, y'all two gonna do something. And we was like, oh, okay, whatever. So then we went to North Carolina the next trip and we got even more dramatic. So it was like, oh, okay, okay. Something got to give. So finally, Elise, we was, you know, she does a vinyl themes and all that. Mm-hmm. And she does her sing-alongs.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this sing-along back and forth. And the next thing you know, we went to California again. And we did Make That Move by Shalamar came on.
The legendary Make That Move dramatic singing video.
Yes, yes.
We out here.
It came out of nowhere. We was doing the same steps. We was doing all that. It was not planned, nothing.
I love it.
And from that moment, I was like, sis, we need to do something. And she was like, let's just do a live to see how it goes. And from there, the R&B representatives was born.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we did that first live. And I don't even think we had planned to do another one or anything. We just was doing it. And then it got such a great response that we've done one every week ever since, except for 1 week. And JR had to make me not do it because I was sick and I still wanted to do it.
I bet. I bet. I'm glad you told her to go sit down.
Yes, sit down somewhere.
She right, because I was sick and I was still going to try to push it.
And right, because the one we did before then, she wasn't feeling that great then. Hmm. And I was like, at least you can pull this. And she was like, yeah, I'm fine. Then we got off. She was like, oh God, you know, I had to pull myself through that one. Hmm. So we get to the next Tuesday, she like, well, you know what? I think I can do it. I said, at least we ain't doing no live. Stay your butt in bed. We ain't doing no live. I'm not playing with you. And if you try to do the live, I'm not coming on. So don't.
And you and your sister is not me.
Facts.
Okay. My third question, what do you guys ultimately hope to achieve with your collaboration, the small but growing empire that you guys are putting together? And I will start with Elise.
My big thing that I have put out into the universe is I want a syndicated radio or television and or television show.
Okay.
Like that's
that in the world. Yes. I'd also love to see it.
That's the goal. And as we keep on going, I can really see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see it not happening, basically, right. At this point.
Right. So, right.
Yeah.
In JR?
That's mine. I think I want me and Elise really. I think I definitely want the radio show. That's always been in my head. I said I want a radio show where I can play R&B music that feels good. Mm. And it's crazy. We're on the show entitled The Goodness. So it's like whatever you put in, the universe, it will work out. But I also want me and Elise to have something as far as like what we doing with Catch That. Because I want people to see the dramatic that we give, but the love you can see through us. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to be funny and all that. You can hear that on the radio show a lot because Elise, bothers me a lot on the radio. I'm trying to tell y'all when y'all listen.
The trolling is
fun. Yeah, I'm throwing you under the bus. Yes, you do. But
wow. Don't let that stand, Elise. Damn.
No. She got to deal with me when we get off, so. keep being cute. It's yeah.
But yeah, I just want us to have a radio show, and then I also want us to do something with television. Because like she said, the more we're doing it, the more I see. It's something. We got something special. You know what I mean? So I'm here for this.
I hear that. I would like to see that very much. I mean, there's a lot of wildly underwhelming people all up on our TVs and on our radios.
Look.
Don't even have half the knowledge you have.
Yeah.
So why not you?
Yeah.
Don't get me to slandering some certain.
Hello.
Slandering.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we wanted to about Catch That. What made us come up with that idea is, like, I came to JR and I was like, don't you get sick of watching interviews, for one, that ask the same questions over and over? Two, when people are asking about people's personal lives. Me and JR don't give a fuck about that, okay?
Right.
Second of all.
Give a damn, because I don't want you to give a damn about mine. Like, what the
fuck? Like, I don't want to hear about your personal life unless that thing in your personal life is part of the music. Like, if you went through this rough thing and then you made a record about it, then we'll talk about it. Otherwise, it's not my business.
Like, the people who like that kind of shit came up, they do that a lot to women, especially. Like, when I was watching the Tina Turner documentary, which should have been multiple episodes. For a life like Tina, she deserved more. And in her life, she deserved more. And even, like, the way they would interview her after, you know, she finally left, God bless. And she, you know, they'd lead with that bullshit. She was gone from the dude for 3 years. The fuck you got to talk about it for? She had to talk about music. The fuck you talking about? Abusive ass, demon ass, fucking hopefully rotten with the roaches in hell ass ex-husband. What the fuck we talk about that for?
Right.
Because, and on the Tina thing, it'd been one thing if what they said about Ike had to do with the music she made.
Right.
And then they cut it off there. Because, you know, it horrible that he's abuser, but that was part of her musical career. So it's relevant. But after that,
what the fuck?
It was no need.
No need. None whatsoever. They did it to Britney Spears. They do it to Janet Jackson. They do it a lot, especially when it's Black ladies. They're extra disrespectful about it.
It's so bad. Because I couldn't believe, because me and Elise, when she watched it first and she said, bro, when you watch this, you're going to see how horrible these interviewers are. And I was like, really? And she was like, it's bad. And when I watched it, I was like, I can't believe this. Like, she's sitting there promoting Mad Max, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ike had just went to jail. And they asked, well, you heard Ike went to jail. What the fuck? She can't. He went to jail for.
He ain't been in her life for like a decade at that point.
Right. Like, what
are you bothering her for?
Yeah. Disgusting. I was like, they're awful.
But it's not really about the music at that point, right? Yeah. It's not about the thing she's there to promote. It's like the fucking Breakfast Club. It don't never be about the shit. It's always about being messy. And it's like, you don't have the fucking range as it is to do these interviews. The fact that serious people who have serious shit, I've said this before on the podcast, I'm gonna say it again. The fact that people who have serious careers and do serious things in their lives have to lower themselves to come sit amongst that rabble is
because it's a bunch of bullshit.
It really is.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring Breakfast Club, because that brings me to my second point is that these people come, they get these legends on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give you an example. They had Stephanie the Mills.
Mm-hmm. On fucking Breakfast Club?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know what her first hit song was. They thought they talking about 80s stuff, and her hit was in the 70s.
They don't do research. They don't have no real love for it. And it shows. And it's for everybody they interview. And it's just a bunch of ignorant bullshit. And they pay these niggas for it.
It's full of gossip. And and I was at work and, you know, I had my YouTube. So, of course, it went to the next one. I got it on audio play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so it comes up. They did an interview with Kelly Price.
Mm.
Y'all, that had to be the worst Kelly Price interview I've ever seen. I could not believe the first thing, the only question that they asked her was about her music, was mainly about her with the Bad Boy stuff. They didn't even know she got signed by Ron. They didn't know that. They didn't know, like, they didn't barely spoke about her music at all. They didn't speak. Yeah. I'm like, Kelly Price got albums. Y'all not gonna ask her about those. They asked her about her new album, Grace, a little bit. But it was more about her divorce. Why does she care about that? She's over. She's done.
They it's over. It's about, Black history. Fuck you asking her about it for?
Yeah, then you ask about her weight again. I'm like, for real? Like, we doing this here? I'm like, I can't. I cannot.
Listen, if I... If we had Kelly Price as a guest, we gonna talk to her about how deep her pen is all through R&B music, her backgrounds is all up and through there,
and gospel.
Yes. That's what we gonna ask about. We gonna ask her nothing. I ain't gonna ask her nothing about her personal life except, hey, how you doing today? That's about as deep as it's gonna get about her personal life.
And I feel like that would be refreshing for people because they're always getting waylaid with some bullshit that they completely deflect from what they're there for. And they get stuck in the weeds answering questions about essentially shit that don't rate. You know what I'm saying?
It's trash. I mean, you know what? Oh,
and people have appreciated because everybody we talk to want to come back and we're like, this is great and this is refreshing.
Right, because y'all ain't fucking digging in the weeds.
Right, and that's what we do with our show is that when you come on, we're not going to ask you the normal stuff. Like, again, we just had Brian Alexander Morgan on our show. Of course, everybody's going to think we're going to talk about SWV and the drama with that. And they no, we talked about him. We talked about Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life, the whole show. Now, did SWV come up? Yeah. And he brought it
organically.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why he was like, yo, He wants a 4-part series. Don't need him.
I saw that. I was like, did y'all know it was going to be 4 parts?
No.
He has stuff he wants to say. And I love that. I love that for you. And I love that for them because they spend a lot of time waiting around in foolishness and answering nonsense questions that are not related to the thing that they're there for. And that's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Nobody sticks to the fucking task, you know? Says the girl who be going off book on every single one of her shows. But it's whatever. I told y'all.
It's organic. It's not forced off the rails. Exactly. That's the difference.
If we go off book, that's the brand.
Branding.
Okay. Next question. What advice would you give to someone who's interested in the work that you do?
First off, I'm gonna go back to we ended or it has to be organic. Don't try to force, you know, if you want to do a co-host thing, don't force it. You know, the chemistry has to be there. Yeah. Second of all, and this is one of the reasons I really love JR, you gotta research.
Yes, God, read them line of notes.
Come on.
Like that's what you talking about.
Yeah. That's one thing JR gonna do. Even if we're talking about something that we both know about, we still go back. You know, when we do catch that and we're talking about albums, we sit and listen to and sit with them albums for 1 or 2 weeks at a time.
I love that.
You know, because we don't wanna be out here looking crazy.
Yeah. Because I feel like people are getting rewarded for doing the barest of minimum.
Oh.
Like they're not researching, they racing to get some like clip so that they can go viral. You know what I mean? They want to take something out of context, put it together, make it seem like some, you know, big news has broken so that they can get these clicks, these likes, these rage clicks, these whatevers. And it shows, like the quality of what is being produced shows it. And it's actually offensive to people who want better and deserve better.
It's just, to me, I feel like you just gotta love what you do.
Amen.
You know what I mean? You got to really love it. Like, Max, when I'm hearing your show, I love the, that's why I told Elise, I'll be hitting, I'll be like, I love Max. Because she's so New York, and she's so New York, and she's just so her. And I'm like, she's just so raw and unapologetic for it. And that's what I love about your podcast. Like, for me, it's like, you just got to love it. You know what I mean? And like, yeah. Everybody said, what was it? Our homeboy Mark, he said, mm-hmm. Yo, when you look at you guys, you can tell y'all love it. Y'all got the passion for it. Absolutely. Y'all have fun with it. You know what I mean? And that's all it is. It's like,
it's not even just about being snobs. That's what's also refreshing about the two of you. Yeah. You're not snobs about it. If Cass don't know, you're willing to teach.
And if we don't know, we want
you're
you
willing to learn.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
what shows.
And you know what? On our show, and a lot of times people ask us questions, and when we don't know, we be like, I don't know.
And it's okay to say that you don't fucking know.
Or you'd be like, what do you think about so-and-so record? Be like, you know what? I don't know that record, or I haven't listened to that in a long time. Mm-hmm. Let me get back at you. I don't know.
Right. And that's perfectly fine. Nobody's going to cut your head off.
And even if we're wrong about something, because on Brian's show, I had said something that I thought he was like, no, no, now. And I was like, okay, well, teach me then. Okay. I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, da 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 da. And I was like, oh. I was like, well, good to know. Because I feel like everybody on here now wants to act like they know everything.
Like they're deep knowledge. Like, and a lot of times it's like kiddie pool type knowledge, you know?
Yeah, it's like you don't know every fucking thing. Like, why are you just trying to act like you know everything? And that's what I love about me and Elise. Like, if Elise don't know something, I'll be like, yeah, she'd be like, oh, well, damn. And then it's a lot of shit that she knows that I'll be like, okay, where's my pen? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let me research it for myself. You know what I'm saying? But again, if you want to do this, just do it because you love it. Don't do it because you're just trying to get likes and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes you're not going to get the likes you want because social media is not the world that you think it is.
It's not. And it's not the end all be all either. And I feel like a lot of people put their entire personalities and lives and everything else into the fickle feelings of unknown bitches on the internet. And that's a fuck up from the very, very, very beginning. Yeah. And the people who win in this thing are the ones who are the most authentically themselves. Your Deezus and Marrows, your Kid Furies and Crystals, your, you know what I'm saying? All those folks who come out and just be themselves, talk their shit. When they don't know something, they go and find out. You know, and if there's something that they're slipping on, they make sure they make themselves better before they come and present themselves to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, they show the growth, you know, they make sure that you know that they're growing and that they're, I mean, case in point, like, these and Meryl were the most reckless niggas on Twitter.
They were.
A decade ago. But they know better. So they do better. They learn what they need to learn and they take that knowledge and share it with the rest of the rabble. You know what I'm saying?
I just wish they would have never went on The Breakfast Club. I felt so bad. Wasn't that
bad? I actually kind of enjoyed the fallout.
Yeah.
That is my favorite podcast episode of theirs. Yes. Barman, and my favorite episode of that Vice show. When they read them bitches into the ground,
they
chewed them bitches and spit them out. I thought it was great.
Watching them
have to endure that shit and not be able to beat nobody's ass, not be able to hit nobody with a chair, not go full BX all day.
Yes.
They struggled and shout out to them because them,
woo,
somebody that got jumped outside their fucking jaunt. Let me tell you.
The way Envy came at them, it would have been cut because I'd have picked up a chair and threw it. For real.
Grand closing. Like, I'd have been like, who the fuck are you talking to? Show's over.
It would have been a rap. Like, how you mad that they did a joke on you, but you did
it? This is a legitimate joke.
It's a joke.
Didn't nobody tell you to go out and fuck Erica Mena? Like, hello? Come on, man.
Hello?
Nobody told you to fuck around on your wife and get aired out by the bitch who you... Because the bitches talk now. They talk.
I love how... What's her name? Tammy. She said... These bitches now, they talk. Before you pay their fucking rent and you give them a little car note, they be all right. Now, you... Mm-hmm.
They trying to be famous off that dick they sat on.
And another thing I noticed is through doing this that you need to have is you have to... It's a long game. You have to have certain relationships cultivated with people in the industry.
Oh yeah.
From all sides, you know, not just the, you know, the singers or the rappers, but the writers, the producers, the journalists. Mm-hmm. That's who you need to, that's the key, because you know, they can open up that world, but it has to be genuine connections. But it's just of building that, of not being a shitty human to where people like you and they want to help you. Because I have people, now we have people coming to us asking, oh, do you want to talk to so-and-so? Uh-huh. Like, oh, okay. But like, you know, to where you're not even at, where you don't have to ask, even ask favors. They're, they're coming to you, so.
Yeah.
And you get a reputation for being a positive place for them to stop and do their thing. Yeah. People need that. They need a respite. And I think you guys provide a respite from that bullshit that they inevitably have to, like, when they get on these, like, these circuits, more or less, right? The junkets, where they have to keep answering the same questions. This bitch is, the question from the BT guy is the same. The question from the Root guy is the same. The question from the NBC guy is the same. And like, once they finally get to you, it's like, oh, thank God I don't have to answer that goddamn question. People start to learn about the fact that it's a positive experience and they want to be a part of it. And you don't have to do anything but be yourselves. And that's wonderful.
It's almost like they're coming to us and it's like doing a concert of all their B-sides that they can't do on a regular tour. It's like,
right, because they got to play the hits. They ain't got to play the hits on your show.
I can play all the songs I really like.
Well, you know, that B-side was my favorite, but they wouldn't let me put it out. And not for nothing, some of the best fucking shit are on those B-sides.
Talk about it.
Boy, Prince was good for a good B-side.
Listen.
King of them, honestly.
Really? Like, I mean, 17 Days, fucking Power Fantastic. Like, come on, man.
You say 17 Days. I love you, Max.
No, that's the B-side of When Doves Cry, because I had that 45, and I used to flip that bitch and play it ad nauseum all the time.
Wow.
Had no business listening to that Purple Rain album whatsoever at that age, but I made my mom buy it and I tore that shit up. I played it every day. And funnily enough, now that I'm older, that's not even my favorite album.
Nah, mine either.
That's not even my favorite album. I always find that the ones that we all went hard for when we were younger, once we know more about their catalog, it's like, oh, this is like the weakest one in their shit. No shade to people who love it, but you know.
Yeah. Oh no, I get it.
It's like people who love Thriller versus people who love Off the Wall.
Ooh, that's a yearly Twitter everyday debate. And I'll be like, I'm muting these because I can't take it. I can't take it. It's annoying. And then in our crew, we have arguments about that. So it's like,
it's a whole thing.
I mean, now that I'm older. I mean, because I was Thriller for life, but now that I'm older, I lean towards Off the Wall because it's the blacker album. It's the blackest album.
Yeah.
Of the mainstream period when he wasn't, like, you know, in his teens doing those little side albums and shit. But like.
Right.
Off the Wall was that girl.
Off the Wall was that girl.
With the girl that didn't go over quite right yet in the glow in the dark socks. Yes.
Come on. And he was still us.
Yeah. Yeah. He belonged to us still at that time.
Once he went to Thriller, he became
everybody's.
Yes.
Everybody's. Mm-hmm. And they all put whatever they projected onto him. And I don't think he ever recovered from that.
Never recovered.
Even though he did try to come back to us with Dangerous, though.
He did.
But it still had a lot of them in it.
No, it did. You see how I worded it? I was like,
good job. Okay, so my next and final question, what was the worst job you've ever had? JR, we'll start with you.
The worst job I've ever had. Okay, I worked at Miami Grill for one day. I worked there one day. I was working at ShopRite. That was my job, but I wanted a second job because I wanted some more money. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, Mama, give me a second job. This is why I'm in high school. She worked nights. So it really didn't matter because she know what I was doing anyway. But
shout out to Latchkey Kids.
Explained so much.
I went and worked at Miami Grill and I was like, this is the worst. They had me cleaning, trying to clean bathrooms. Soon they was like, oh, you're gonna we're gonna start you clean the bathroom. I said, I quit.
Grand closing. Fuck that.
Done. I was like, I'm not cleaning nobody's bathroom. I ain't doing, no. I clean my own bathroom and that's it. I ain't cleaning.
I can barely tolerate that. Please get out of my face.
Yeah. See, they literally was like,
public restroom at that. No, man.
You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, they gave me the mop and it was like, yeah, go right ahead. And I was like, no, I quit. I took my shit and I rolled the hell out and I got on the bus because I didn't even have my car yet. And I got right on the bus and got home. And I called mom and mom was like, so how'd everything go? I was like, I quit. And she was like, really? I was like, mom, they had me cleaning the bathroom. My mom was like, oh, get the fuck out of here.
Mom's new. You know, just the untold horrors of just the women's restroom. My God.
Yeah, I was, I'm not doing that shit. I was like, y'all go to hell. So that I can say I did that one day, but it what? I think I did that for like 2 hours and that was it. Because I didn't even get to the bathroom. They were showing me around and here's this and here's this and you're going to be on the cash register. But since we're a little slow, I'm like, oh, okay, well, what am I going to do? When they did the bathroom, I quit. I didn't even get my direct deposit to go through yet. And I was done.
So I have a second answer because I did when I was on the podcast before. That's so I had another job that might be the second in line, the second worst.
Okay.
And that was at Macy's.
Ooh, retail.
And it wasn't so much the job itself, but one day I was at work and in the department across from me, a lady died.
What?
She had a heart attack. It was an older lady. She had a heart attack and died at the job. And do you know they did not shut down anything? They didn't like bring everybody in to break, you know, and talk about it and make sure everybody was okay. They just moved on like nothing happened. And that's why it's fuck these jobs to me.
Always. It is always. Was she an employee or just like a customer?
Employee.
Fuck you.
Not no customer, an employee.
Fuck you.
Oh, that's fucked up. Wow.
You broke up a little bit. What did you say after that?
Oh, I said after she worked there for decades.
Wow. Yeah, that'll do, that's yeah.
A fucking. She wasn't like a lady that retired and then came, you know, work. Yeah. No, she had worked there for years.
And they didn't stop the show at all.
Did not.
Wow.
My mother always told me too. She said, when you these jobs, you can die tomorrow and they'll have somebody in your position the next day.
I mean, they should have at least went through the motions. I mean, I'm an HR lady. I'd have been at least like bring somebody in to do some counseling or something.
Okay.
Some kind of honor to the woman and like a family, something. Shit. These corporations,
I remember them ever like doing anything special or really saying like it was grapevine to even, well, I knew it happened because I was in the apartment right across from her, but I don't like people didn't even find out all at once. Like it was a game of telephone.
That's that bullshit right
there.
That's
fucked up there.
That is that bullshit. And I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I learned pretty early just never to drink the Kool-Aid. I mean, the only Kool-Aid I'm drinking is for the company that I own, for the business that I run. I'll drink the Kool-Aid for that. I realized pretty early, like early working just in general, like if it's like, you know, you kick the bucket, they got somebody in the next day. Like, I remember when I worked in finance, a cat had done like an all-nighter, was on all the caffeine, was taking like the caffeine pills, was drinking caffeine, was drinking the sports drinks, was doing all of that shit. And man's went down in the middle of the office and had a full, he had a seizure in the middle of the office. You could hear him go down. And Cass just was like, oh, hauled the dude out of there and didn't say anything to anybody. They made sure to make sure old boy had mad time off and paid him so he wouldn't be like, I'm suing you fucks for all right. of this money y'all got.
Yeah. Right.
And they sent him on a vacation and they, you know, made sure he was healthy or whatever. But in the actual office, ain't no shit changed. Ain't no monkey stopping the show. The money was gonna keep coming in, and y'all bitches was gonna have to keep counting it and making sure that these companies look fat and nice for the mother suckers to invest in. And that was the fuck it. And that shit right there, I was like, these bitches don't give a fuck about nothing
at all.
Because it was the kind of setup where you never had to leave, right? It was like a big complex, like building, like, you know, this is New York, so it's like the whole tower. So like they had everything, so you never had to leave. They had the cafeteria, they had cabs if you actually did have to leave, internal, you know, everything, like lunch, the whole bit. You can get your breakfast delivered to your desk. You never, ever had to leave. They had an intranet before the intranet was popping properly like that, so that you could do everything in-house. Dry cleaners, people move closer so they could live near the office. And it was just bullshit like that. And I was like, not me, baby. I can't get far enough away from this motherfucker. Imagine me moving close to my fucking job at a place I don't fucking own. Bitch, get out. Not ever.
Hey, bitch, you fired. And you.
You can pack your things and get the fuck on. Because they don't have it. These orgs do not have it. You can try to make them a little bit more humanistic in their responses, because it's not popping, because people are scared of getting they shit rocked on Twitter now. So maybe you could get a little movement around that. Like, you know, I always say kind of my job is to put the fear of God into them and let them realize all of the potential ways they could get fucked with their bad behavior. And hope for the best, because, you know, you need some water, but you can't make them drink. But, but shit, I was like, yo, if it's like to save a dollar, they getting you the fuck out of here. You can kick tomorrow after 40 years and they'd be like, well, who we gonna get in? position. You'd be like, wow, you niggas are the worst.
Out of control. Yep.
Y'all ever heard Deion Cole do that? He's like, well. It's the way he does it. It's so funny. Sorry.
Can we discuss what a problem he is? Like, I wasn't paying attention. And then I started seeing him do his little DJ joints on YouTube. And I was like, okay. All right. With your big bed in your mirror on the ceiling. Okay. All right.
Well.
Exactly. Oh. Well then. Okay. Well, that was my final question, you guys. This was amazing. So happy to have y'all on here.
So dope.
We were excited about it.
Yes, we were.
I'm absolutely glad. I'm so glad. So where can the people find you, and what are you working on?
Okay. Go for it, JR.
Oh, you wanna go me? Oh, okay. All right. Well, you can find us, the R&B Representatives, on Instagram. You can follow us on R&B Reps on Twitter. Our website is rnbreps.com, where it will take you to everywhere. It will take you to our Twitter page, Instagram, take you to our Catch That episodes that we have, and our radio shows, our archives. So if you weren't able to listen to the Thursday episode and you weren't able to listen to repeating on Sunday, you can go to rnbreps.com and listen to it there. So we got that there. And the stuff we're working on, we just created a new thing now that we're doing called the Catch That Minis, which Max, you will be on.
I will. I'm still trying to think of what song I'm going to pick.
Yes. So we did that, and we just did one with Lauren, which was amazing.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's going to be a hard act to follow. Like,
oh, yeah.
Thanks. No pressure. Well, I know she's a hard act to follow.
I know, because she's so lovely and effervescent.
I know, she's just such a good time and so fancy. She's such a fancy lady.
Yes, she is.
And fancy.
So yeah, we're doing that. And, you know, just adding new stuff to the R&B Reps brand, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to build it, you know what I'm saying? Because we clearly see that a lot of people like what we're doing. So we're going to keep doing it. You know what I'm saying? I got the best co-host in the world. So
it's true.
Right. I can't get no better than that. You know what I mean? You know, I had to make it up, because I know when we get off this, she's going to cuss me out. Y'all, yes. Help me, Jesus.
She's going to get you.
Nah, he been good today.
Hey,
I feel like I'm part of the reason for that, so you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah, you better thank Max. Yeah,
yeah, thank you, Max. I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, and we love you, and we love what you do.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you have a can't miss podcast. I don't miss it, and it's not because you're my friend. So
that's what got me wired up for real, Max. That's why I told Elise, I'll text her, be like, why. Max is so great. I love her because she's so raw. And just be like, fuck these people and fuck who you are. And I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be me. And I love it. I'm like, yo, like, I just be at work and I'm watching it while I'm at work because my work, they crazy there too.
Oh,
so when I'm in and I'm at my desk and I'm laughing out loud and I'm like, oh, shit.
They're going to come over here and ask me questions. Shit.
I sit up there.
Oh, no, nothing.
No, it's nothing. You don't need to know about it.
And that's when I text Elise and I'll be like, Elise, Max, I love her. And I just, and she'd be like, you're listening to the podcast. Yes.
I'm so glad. I'm glad. I mean, if everybody's, you know, if it gets you through the day, if it's reminds you of home, which was the best compliment that I've got.
Oh, it definitely
so far. Thank you so much for that.
Oh my God.
Like, I almost lost my thug a little bit when she said that. I was like,
I'm like, finally we got some real New York raw, and I was like, oh, she reminds me of home so much.
Because I always try to start out, you know, well, this is mostly Max and other
things. Dad, you start so smooth, and then the next thing you know, you just out of here, yo.
It annoys me, and I'm like, man, fuck this shit. These people do it. It's garbage.
She do it like on radio show. She do it like a Freddie Jackson song. The first verse is no backgrounds, it's no runs, it's just, and then you get to the second verse, and he gonna sing down, and the backgrounds is gonna go crazy. That's Max.
Yes, absolutely.
I will take that. That is high praise.
So Max is a Freddie Jackson,
the Freddie the Jackson. A New York OG, I will take
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yes.
I will take it.
I will take it. Well, this was wonderful. And I am so happy we got to do this.
Yes.
And I will have you all on anytime. Feel free to come back whenever.
Anytime you want. It's all good to me. At least I've been on by herself. You can bring me by myself, man.
That's true. We'll holler. We'll talk.
Yeah. And you should, because he has Like, see, you was trying to be shady. When you start whispering, no, because people want to know what you do in your other job.
Yes, I would also like to know more about that.
Boy, yeah. Dude, I would too, so.
Oh, okay, look.
We're going to schedule something on the side, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, girl. It hit me, it's all good.
Well, this is wonderful, and thank you so much.
And that was my chat with the amazing R&B representatives. Super fun, super smart. I love their dynamic. Y'all should definitely get D with their information that they're giving to the people. And let's get in to these key takeaways. Today's key takeaway is that employers got to step their game up, baby. As much as a lot of things have come out of COVID, things that we've learned, one of the things that employers are learning is you can't just go back to the old shit. People are rebelling against that shit. Case in point, retail and fast food spots are struggling to keep up behind staff shortages. And it's a very, very easy reasoning as to why that is. People might have gone on unemployment and have been getting to eat because they were on unemployment with the extension. And nobody, and I do mean nobody, is in any haste to go back to some thankless work with douchebags for managers and douchebags for customers for like starvation subsistence wages. We're not doing it. So cats are not doing it. So what that means is employers are going to have to pay them wages. Fair wages, pay a livable wage that people can freaking subsist on. Excuse me, do more than subsist on. and fucking act like they know better, because you can't keep exploiting people and expecting the same result. People are off that. And that also goes for non-retail and fast food gigs. People are having a hard time getting people to come back to the office because the fact of the matter is working from home is just better. It is. I've done it for like a decade, and I don't know why anybody would want to go back to an office after having a year plus of time being able to be flexible with their time, be able to do the things that they need to do, take care of their children, take care of anybody else that they might be taking care of. And why would you be in any haste to go back to an office after that? I mean, for people, this cat from fucking Chase, Jamie Dimon, came out talking about you can't hustle from home, so you need to work in the office. Rich nigga, please be quiet. Nobody gives a fuck about what you're talking about. Because the fact of the matter is you're rich because you've exploited people and not paid them fair wages. You didn't get your money the old-fashioned, I worked hard for it way, the way you hoes like to tell it. It's not true. It's always been a lie. And everybody's fucking hip. And the fact of the matter is I've been hustling for a decade with my own business out of my house. Never had a brick and mortar. The closest I had to that was a WeWork space, and I still have it so that we can go and meet people and have our meetings and, you know, interviews and shit in a place that is clearly not my house. So you can keep that fucking bullshit. Ain't nobody asked you nothing. Shut your fucking rich ass up and go fucking be quiet. It's never enough for them. You can't just be rich and quiet. Nah, you gotta come out and say stupid shit and show everybody that you're completely out of fucking the loop with real fucking life. You don't even know what real people fucking do. So just shut the fuck up. Nobody asked you. So the fact of the matter is, you can hustle from wherever. Everybody has been producing because capitalism fucking requires it. So I don't want to hear no shit about how cats are like, oh no, what are we going to do? People don't want to come back to the office. Of course they don't want to come back to the office. And I know the people who do want to go back are usually the pops who had to deal with their children in a way that they hadn't had to deal with their children ever. And the mothers who were like, ayo, I'm good on this. I'd like to stay in the house so I can do what I need to do. These kids will go back to school. I'll be in here doing my work and doing whatever else I need to take care of. You can get the fuck out of my face with going back to the office. So the fact of it is you're going to have to make a good fucking play as to why people would want to come back to the office. And you can't say that it's because people aren't working when they're home. That is and always has been a lie. So you can't, you got people on these Zooms all day fucking long. It's been a thing that they've been able to navigate. It's drying everybody's eyeballs up and everything else, but it's a thing that can be done. If you want people to come back to the office, you need to give them the flexibility or you're not going to be able to keep them. And that's exactly what's happening. So bless up to all of that. And I believe I have reached the end of my ranting for this week. Keep washing your hands. Keep wearing your mask, kids, because let me tell you what, with all this reopening, again, people are going to lie to kick it. People are inherently selfish to the point where they're trying to judge people who've been vaccinated, who keep wearing masks. And the reason why we do that is because we can't trust you dirty, selfish bitches. And the fact of the matter is, that's the future for us. I am going to be on my mask game forever because everybody's disgusting and we're not going to reach herd immunity because everybody is selfish, stupid, and would rather lie to kick it. They'd rather buy a fake vaccination card instead of going and getting the free vaccination. But you know what it is. Everybody's dumb and dirty. So keep washing your hands, take care of yourselves, wash your cloth masks, and be good to each other, and I'll talk to you next week.